And welcome to another edition of The Unique Geek. I am your host, as always, John. And with me this week, we have, in studio, Sir. Sir, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you for me putting in my radio voice.
Is that what you're going with, really?
Wacky fun.
Also, we have Carrie. Carrie, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
And the guy who is piping up, Ron. Ron, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing better than that slacker Shag.
Yeah,
man, that guy's a tool.
Shag decided not to join us tonight after saying he was going to be here all day.
Hate you.
He kept saying, I want to come on the podcast. I can't wait to be there. It's such an exciting thing to do. I have nothing else to do tonight, so thank you for inviting me. And then, no, he probably got a better offer. He probably has to go.
Hate you.
He probably has to go write four or five more posts on different sites and talk about his other sites that he has.
Hate you with every fiber of my being.
Someone's kind of loud for being on mute.
I tonight am enjoying a nice, it's a clear drink. That's not water.
It's a clear drink. It is clear.
It's a little rum, some club soda, some
doesn't look like
banana liqueur.
Any.
Did you bring enough for everyone?
And some lemon juice.
I was about to say, I don't see any lime in there.
It's quite delicious.
I would think lime would be an appropriate addition to that.
Yeah. Oh, before we get started, and I'm sure they love it, I talk about this right after talking about drinking, I do need to say thank you to our sponsors, GoToMeeting. They have been very nice to us, and they also have an awesome product. You can head over to GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts to get a free 30-day trial of, one of the best pieces of software out there for doing holding meetings. I mean, go ahead.
That way, you don't have to get dressed. You don't have to go into the office. You just sit right there at your house in your bunny slippers, go to meeting.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
And I could also add, I found out today that GoToMeeting is owned by Citrix, which is the organization that my hospital uses for all of its remote desktop support. So it's obvious they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they're one of the folks that had actually started the whole remote desktop thing. Why is my volume so low on my register over here? But anyway, GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free 30-day trial. Check it out. So, anyway, we wanted to get together to... We actually were talking a little bit about Dragon Con prior to this podcast, trying to figure out where the hell we're going to stay. But we thought, well, since we're together, we might as well get try to get the rest of the crew together on short notice and try to put out another one of these things that we seem to be too far and too few.
So if anyone happens to have a few rooms that, you know, they wanted to hook us up with, you know, maybe we can work something out.
We'll be happy to take them off your hands.
I need to figure out why my volume is so registering so low on.
I think it might be the effect of alcohol.
It could be. The last podcast we did was actually talking about the best of 2009. I didn't really want to go into the best of 2010 because, frankly, we're in February already, and so it's kind of cheating. But I did want to go back and talk about a little bit again about Avatar. Has anybody seen it since we did the...
I did.
What was your impression?
Well,
first of all, let me say real
if
quick.
If they haven't seen it by now, is this going to really affect anything?
No, I don't think so. You can just ruin it. But I do want to say that I've been using Carrie's quote all over the place.
You're welcome.
Of the most, was it the
the most beautiful three-hour cliche?
Yes, I've ever seen. So I've been using that on everywhere I go and to explain it, because it actually sums it up very succinctly. But go on.
It does, absolutely. It's hard to put it any better than Carrie did. It is very, it's very rich. It's full of incredible scenes and visuals. And I remember coming out of the theater, I told Dr. Jen as we were walking out of the theater, I said, if I was 12 years old, that would be the coolest movie ever.
Would that be your Star Wars?
I think it probably could. Absolutely, I think it could.
I mean, because if you look at Star Wars, and no offense to the Star Wars lovers, Star Wars is rather cliche as well.
It certainly is now.
Yes.
I think at the time it may have been a little bit more cutting edge storytelling.
Granted.
However, at this time and at this juncture, you know, I just the story that's behind Avatar is pretty weak. It's
Pocahontas.
It's almost see-through. But the visual effects make up for a weak story. I don't know that I would have ever considered that to be possible. But what James Cameron's done has really been impressive.
I saw it since then, too. And I saw it with my 10-year-old stepson. This is Shag, by the way. The reason I'm not on the podcast is because they have me doing slave labor, recapping a previous conversation we had. So, anyway, what's that?
Did you get that
whip? Is that the whip, sir? Is that the whip, sir? I'm sorry, sir.
Did you get that scent?
I'm writing the damn thing. Anyway,
Your writing?
Right. Anyway, saw it with my 10-year-old stepson, and he loved it. He thought, just as Carrie described it, you know, it was the greatest movie he's probably ever seen. He absolutely went nuts. And I agree. The visuals are stunning. I didn't have as much of a problem with the story as everyone else. I mean, I recognize that it's cliche, but it didn't bother me. I mean, it was a movie. I was there for fun. It's not going to stay
with me. Well,
it's not going to stay with me and haunt me for the rest of my life, but it was just a fun movie that I enjoyed. I think probably the most emotionally charged I got watching the film, as silly as it was, is towards the end in the big climactic battle when all of the animals came out to help them. That actually, I was like, wow, that's really
It was cool. Like when the Ewoks jumped the stormtroopers.
Or when Aquaman calls in his wet friends to do anything.
No,
you're absolutely right, Shag. It's all a matter of perspective. If you don't really have anything to compare it to, it's going to be a benchmark moment for you. That's going to set the bar for movies that you'll compare this moment to for the rest of your life. I mean, at Star Wars, the closest thing I could have compared it to when I saw it for the first time was it thematically, it was kind of spaghetti western-esque.
Yep. Yeah, Star Wars was, sure.
I mean, yeah, Star Wars. And it, as much as I've complained about it, no, it's a very enjoyable movie. I can't think of any reason why I would not have wanted to have seen it. I was reprimanded by somebody in a class last night, though, when I said that I had not seen it in 3D. I was told that you can't really appreciate the true spectacle of it unless you do, but I can't do the 3D.
Know.
It gives me a screaming headache.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, I did see it in 3D and IMAX, and I was happy that I did, but there were no – I remember no specific 3D effects that would make the movie experience
so much better. The one that was cited
to
me was the scene in which the tree was being blowed up. Spoilers there.
Carrie, I'll tell you. I was just going to say, as someone else who cannot watch 3D movies, really, they don't work for me typically. Normally, I always see the double image – any 3D movie I see, and it's always very disappointing.
Have you tried wearing the glasses with it? Yes. You need glasses.
I never thought about that. Anyway,
or putting in your
for
glass
this particular
eye?
Movie, one of the interesting things was that the 3D glasses actually are large enough to fit over your normal reading glasses, which was not really the issue before, but that was kind of neat. And I had no problems. The whole movie was in 3D, and it worked great. I didn't get a headache. I didn't see double images, nothing. Everything worked properly, and it was the first 3D movie I've ever seen where everything worked right for me. So might be, you know, take some Excedrin before you go just to be safe. I don't know.
I think it helped me in that, not any big scenes or anything, but just to make the Na'vi look more realistic. I think the motion capture suits they did, you know, really helped that as well. But just I think it gave their even their faces and just how they moved did make them look more realistic and less CGI-y.
I believe it would be CGI-ish.
Whatever.
Well, at least I don't feel quite so jaded by saying that. Yeah, it was a really good movie. I enjoyed it, but as far as earth-shatteringly important, I don't get it.
Yeah, in 5 years, once other movies are made that have used that technology better, it will kind of go away other than just being a footnote as to it's making bazillions of dollars.
I mean, I've seen 3G before, 3D movies before. I've seen CGI before that looked really good. I can remember being more wowed by The Matrix when it came out with the bullet time than I was with the effects from Avatar. So I was a little paranoid about devolving into a crusty old man a little early, but
It just
sequel or prequel?
Well, they're doing two more.
Well, yeah, sometimes what do you guys think
about?
Yeah, I'm skeptical because I just don't see that there's that much more story to tell.
Yeah, I heard using the Avatar animation, they're going to do three more. They're called Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi.
Huh?
Wah, wah, wah.
No, I'm not kidding, guys. George said he wanted to redo the original trilogy after seeing Avatar in that style.
Oh, no, you're kidding, right?
Okay, I heard it secondhand. I haven't read the articles on it myself, but that's what I was informed of, yeah. Maybe he was referencing the 3D. I don't know, because he's got a 3D bug up his ass lately.
Well, but, I mean, some things are saying that they can use special algorithms to convert old two-dimensional movies into 3D. It's not going to be the same, because it wasn't made to be that way, but... Yeah.
You know...
Well, I heard Lucas was looking.
I was just thinking, you know, if he redid Star Wars Empire and Return... It's possible. It can be done. He could get Jar Jar Binks into the documentaries instead of just the shit that was following. So that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Jar Jar Binks in all six movies. Good stuff.
Okay, actually I'm looking right here on a blog. It says Avatar provides a new impetus for George Lucas to make a 3D Star Wars a reality.
Well, perhaps instead of redoing Star Wars Empire and Return, he'll finish the three, because there's supposed to be three more new stories post-Return.
Well, okay, looking at this, it looks like he's not looking to do the CGI just to make the existing films into 3D is what they're talking about.
You know, not to be a Luddite, but I'm afraid of this spiraling out of control to be just another excuse as to why there are no good scripts written anymore. They're going to go for the visceral impact of this new technology and 3D and fantastic animation and basically just have a 3-hour-long episode of Owl My Balls.
You know, Star Wars Clone Wars... background. Hey!
Surprise, surprise.
Hey, we have Ed joining us. Ed!
Hey, what you doing?
Nothing. What you doing?
I'm just painting my fingernails and listening to some Lady Gaga.
Oh, you got your poker face on?
What is that?
Obviously, you're not listening to Lady Gaga.
Ed, the original Unique Geek, how you doing?
I am fantabulous.
We didn't want to bother you because you were playing Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah, it was a pretty important time, yeah.
it was Ed time. It's all Ed all alone time.
So what you talking about? Special time.
Oh, we were talking about Avatar again, or Avatar'd. And then we were talking about George Lucas remaking Star Wars in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they should do? They should remake Blade Runner in 3D.
Well, that's not nice.
What I started to say was, well, yeah, because no one would go see it again.
For the first time.
All right, bye.
what I was going to say was is that, you know, Star Wars... They could do some stuff with the Star Wars animated series in 3D that I think would be very enjoyable. But I really wish he would stay the hell out of screwing around with any more of the, I guess what would be considered the canon. The Clone Wars, I don't know, is anybody watching the Clone Wars animated series?
I haven't seen the cartoon for a while. I mean, I saw it. At the end of last season, has the new season begun?
Yeah, the new season's begun. It's actually not bad. It's not a bad...
I think the show is better than the three prequel movies, I think.
Well, you know.
I know. It's not saying a whole bunch, but it's not saying a whole bunch, but
my 10-year-old stepson watches it, John, so that's kind of your intellectual equal right there.
Do you watch it with him?
I haven't had the opportunity, but I've seen some episodes, and I would watch
it. Oh, I sit down and watch it with my son, so.
Wasn't going to resist taking a shot at you, that's all.
Okay, well, I just sit down and watch it with my son. Have some quality.
So you follow the recommendation at the beginning of the show that there should be some parental guidance, whereas Shag doesn't?
Yeah, that's pretty much all.
Okay, just making sure that you're a better father than Shag.
Oh, I am.
Wait, do you think it was bad that I let my kid watch Porky's or something?
No, it was the porn that threw it over the edge.
Porky's is about right at the 10. Have you gone back and watched Porky's? Has anybody gone back and watched Porky's?
A couple years ago, yeah.
Did you find it as dull as I did?
You know, I think I had to view it through the same lens that I saw it with the first time. It, obviously, the first impression is boobs.
Doobie?
But, yeah.
Or was your vision clouded by any chance?
No. But beyond that, you know, that type of movie was, again, referencing back to Avatar, it was kind of a bench setter. That spawned a genre of movies that lasted for an entire decade. So I have to at least be nostalgic on it from that point. It spawned so many bad movies that I enjoyed.
It's, you know, I tend to use it as a benchmark. Like, it's this generation's Porky. I've said that about American Pie, the first American Pie. It's
not the 15th one.
No, not the not the Crazy Mile or
American Pie Crusty Years.
Right. The first American Pie. I said, you know, it's like the kids now. It's like they're Porky's, and really, I would say
the kids these days. Are we really this old that we're talking about kids in the third
and
person?
What was the movie that came out this summer? The Hangover. I think The Hangovers would also qualify in the same spirit.
Really?
Of Porky's. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it might qualify in the same spirit of Porky's, but to me, that was more of a.
It's not teen coming of age.
Right, and it seemed to be more of a
semi-thinking person's...
I
still haven't seen it, but I've heard that
I mean, I don't know if it's thinking persons as much as it's... it's not as lowbrow as... I mean, it is pretty lowbrow, but it's not as lowbrow
until the final credits.
as Porky's was. Well, speaking of which, what is Ed? What is your favorite bad movie of all time?
Bad movie,
yeah.
As in C quality, talking about
as
intentionally
in,
bad or unintentionally bad?
Unintentionally bad.
Dude, that's a tough question.
Yeah, I thought I'd just drop that right on you.
Give me a few minutes and I'll think about it.
Carrie probably has one. Cocked and loaded.
The first one that comes to mind is an old movie I saw on the Creature Feature. On a UHF channel when I was like 8, called Gargoyles.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Gargoyles.
With the really bad latex suits.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was entranced. I thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. Didn't see it again for almost 2 decades. Saw it again and was so embarrassed that I ever liked that festering pile. But, yeah, that was great. Now, as far as bad movies that are intentionally bad, nothing tops Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Was that intentionally bad, though?
The classic.
Yes, it was.
Aren't all the ones from, what is that?
Trauma.
Trauma Studios. Aren't they all intentionally bad?
I think Attack of the Killer Tomatoes predated Trauma.
Did it?
Mm. I'm pretty sure it did.
Hmm. What about you, sir?
I would have to say Streets of Fire.
Ooh, good choice.
Huh.
It's a guilty pleasure. It really is. If I happen to come across it on HBO or Spike or something like that, I'm like, oh, I'm in.
What about this? So that would be unintentionally bad, right? I mean, they didn't intentionally come out to
right. I don't think they intentionally. I don't think they intended for the movie to kind of be C genre and, you know, sci-fi hoke, but they accomplished.
Do you have one that was intentionally bad that you enjoyed? Besides porn?
Intentionally bad that I enjoy. Maybe almost anything from Ed Wood.
I don't know if that fits under intentionally bad, though, because that wasn't his aim. He really thought he was making art.
He was making something.
Yeah.
Art wasn't it.
Yeah, it was colored brown and it was coming down, but it wasn't art.
It rhymes with art.
Yeah.
How about you, Ed, and come back to you again? Anything yet?
No, nothing yet.
Hey, Ron, how about you?
Well, two movies come to mind. It just depends on how you look at bad, really. I know one
Star Wars.
Your one of your personal favorites is Starship Troopers. It's a bad movie, but I enjoy
love
it. And I'd watch it again. Another one is Armageddon, just because I'd seen it. A part of it was on, or I guess the whole movie was on, but I didn't watch a few minutes of it yesterday. And it still gets me. I was like, man, this was an awesome freaking movie. And it's not a great movie, though, but I don't think it's really a bad movie. Whereas Starship Troopers, yeah, that's a bad movie. So
So many other things come to mind, like the original Death Race 2000.
Never actually seen all that.
Oh, I've got a copy of it. It's an awesome, awesome bad movie.
You know, I actually saw the new Death Race, and I actually thought it wasn't bad.
Yeah, I did too. That. Yeah, it was okay.
It was enjoyable.
How about Logan's Run?
That wasn't intended to be bad, though.
No, none of these were intended to be bad.
Okay.
I'm not sure Logan's Run would be one of my favorite bad movies, though. It is a bad movie.
I have something that it's like sort of a guilty pleasure. It's actually a TV pilot, so it was 2 hours, but it was on television. It eventually led to a series, but it's sort of a movie because it's a 2-hour pilot. The Misfits of Science. I mean, it's wretchedly bad, and they knew it was bad as they were making it, but I love it. I absolutely love it, and it's because I watched it at the right age.
Hey, really does love it.
If we want to get into the actual TV, what's bad on TV, V, the series was a horrible, horrible, horrible series.
The series was, yes. And also, Final Battle's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, Final Battle was bad.
The series is worse, but
horrible.
But I mean,
but you still enjoyed it, right?
The series.
Oh, well,
and
that's not the point then.
The original Battlestar Galactica. I mean, you know, you look at them now and they're just crap camp.
The Buck Rogers series.
Right, exactly.
They didn't think those were bad. The A-Team, though, the A-Team, I think, was intentionally cheesy.
Yeah. But I think that's the focus, the movies that weren't intentionally bad. But you may have loved them, but at heart, you know, this. You knew at the time that you were watching this is really crap. Like when I was a child, watching anything from Sid and Marty Croft.
Oh. How about Creature?
Creature?
That's the Alien ripoff. It was a low-budget ripoff.
You know,
of the
I
movie
never
Alien.
Saw that.
Oh, it used to be on Sci-Fi Channel like every 15 minutes.
I got another good one for you. Hellraiser.
Never actually seen Hellraiser either.
That's actually kind of boring these days.
The first Hellraiser, yeah, it's boring these days. When I first saw it, I was fascinated by it, just entranced by the concept of it. The movie itself, ooh, pretty stinky.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I had to have watched Hellraiser 15 or 16 times all in 1 year in college. I mean, we watched it several of my friends and I watched it incessantly.
And has anyone seen The Howling recently?
Actually, Carrie, you're probably aware of that. Anyway, The Howling. No, I haven't.
Yeah, werewolf movie.
Oh, speaking of werewolf movies, how about An American Werewolf in London?
Now that's not a bad movie.
Yeah, but it's still a pretty good movie.
But
I've got
sort
a copy of that on my media center too, and even now that movie has aged remarkably well.
I mean, but when it came out, it was a horror movie, and now it's closer to a comedy.
I don't know. I disagree. Of him in the subway or the scenes where he's speaking to some of the people that he's killed, kind of creepy.
Yeah, especially those Nazis. Invade the house.
It's been a fundamental shift in how we view that type of movie. There used to be just horror movies. Now there's kind of a schism to where you've got spectacles, the gotcha movies, the ones that started with Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, to where they're not really scary, they're startling. And then more compelling movies, they kind of like the American Werewolf in London, to where there aren't as many gotcha moments, but it's more of an engrossing story. I could give you another example of Jacob's Ladder. There's nothing startling about that, really, but it was creepy as hell.
I've got one that's a non-horror movie.
Sure.
Midnight Madness.
Never heard of it, even.
Michael J. Fox's first film, remember that. The Searching for Clues as You Go Around Town, Canadian flick.
Yeah, like a scavenger hunt. It was a scavenger hunt. That's what it was, yeah.
Loved that movie, but man, it was terrible. Sorry to sidetrack you off the horror stuff.
No. That was the original idea. I kind of thread-jacked.
Well, no, that's actually, you know, you bring up possibly another interesting topic, which is of the movie, and I don't know why we're already on this, but and this was nowhere on our list of things to talk about tonight. But what movies as a child, or even as a young adult, traumatized you?
Jaws,
good one. Phantasm.
I have one that came to mind. Actually, a friend of mine has this movie group that she's involved with, and they're going through all this actually right now and showing the movies to everybody. And the movie that came to my mind was The Day After.
Yeah, that's a pretty cheesy one.
Oh, my God.
It's crap now, but
yes.
I remember when I was in, I think, fifth grade is when it came out. I was terrified.
You know,
so was I.
They put out a British version that, in the 80s, too, that was actually a little bit more terrorizing than that one. I can't remember the name of it. But not long after The Day After came out, the British version came out, and it was pretty traumatizing.
There was a movie that just the television advert traumatized me. I never actually saw the movie, and in hindsight, now it's utterly ridiculous. It was the advertisement for It's Alive.
Wait a minute, the one with Roddy Piper?
No, that's They Live.
No. Yeah, that's They Live.
That would be my favorite.
Was just a baby carriage or cradle or some kind, and as it's playing like a nursery rhyme in the background, and as it slowly turns and you see the other side of it, there's a child's hand hanging out the side, but it's a mangled claw. And I don't know why.
I remember that
scared me shitless.
I understand that Shag has to go because this topic scares him. He's afraid of he's afraid of bringing up childhood memories. And
I have to go position myself in a fetal position and cry myself to sleep now.
Do you want to throw one in real quick?
What's that?
You want to throw a childhood traumatizing movie in real quick before you split?
That's why he's going to leave.
Believe it or not, Godzilla. it wasn't so much the movie itself, but I had this freaky-ass dream, repeating dream for a while when I was probably, I don't know, five, that it had to do with Captain Kirk versus Godzilla, and Godzilla was going to win and kill us all. It was terrible. But there you have it.
So, Shag, where can people find you?
In a fetal position, I just told you.
In a dumpster outside Denny's.
Exactly. onceuponageek.com. That's onceuponageek.com. That's my week daily blog. Also, Firestorm Fan is my my blog dedicated to the Nuclear Man. You can find me on the Unique Geek listserv. You can find me on Twitter at onceuponageek. Occasionally, not so much lately because it's stupid.
What?
And anyway, and everywhere you want to be.
Did you say Nuclear Man?
Probably.
Nuclear?
Yeah.
Jesus, what are you, W?
Yep, that's me. That's me totally.
All right, Shag, we'll have a good night.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye. I do. I have actually one, and Shag kind of reminded me of it, which is the one that traumatized me for a very long time was Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Really?
I to this day have nightmares about
mashed potatoes.
About the alien's face. The alien's face to this day. I was so I had so many nightmares with an alien series. I actually thought, growing up for most of my life, that I had been abducted.
You told me that in college. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. It was a horrifying. I cannot watch that movie still.
Wow. Wow.
See, actually, the movie's just propaganda, so you think that you weren't abducted.
That goes to that thing.
Wasn't there
the Matrix
a movie that
only...
just came out that was like that?
What's that?
There was a movie that was like that. Like a psychiatrist in Alaska was...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was played with...
It was out for about 10 minutes.
Chick from that movie that I never watch. And going back, I think you may have heard me say it, but my favorite, I don't know if it was intentionally bad, but unintentionally bad, was They Live.
Absolutely. I watched that actually a few months ago. Got it from Netflix.
Oh, it is so fun.
It really was.
It's like
that was the first time where the phrase, I've come here to chew bubble gum and
gum
kick
and
ass.
Kick ass. Mm-hmm. I'm almost out of gum.
I'm all out of bubble gum.
The fight scene in the alleyway, which is a ridiculously long fight scene.
That was like a third of the movie.
over just wearing glasses was so horrific. So the funny thing, though, is that fight, given assuming that you could survive a 2x4 to the head, was probably the most realistically shot fight scene I've seen.
Wow, he was a wrestler.
Well, I mean, the thing is that I mean, it wasn't these we kind of talked about this a few weeks ago on Weekend Justice or whatever, but
hey, we already talked about Weekend Justice. Sure.
That's why I kind of hesitate on saying it.
I'm kidding.
The fight scenes lately have been all shot so close that you can never actually see what's going on. But that particular one was shot widescreen. It was like shot like from 20 feet back, and you just saw everything that was going on. As slow as it was going on, you saw everything that was going on. Who else? Carrie, you already gave us the one that traumatized you, right?
Oh, yeah.
What about you, Ron?
Creepshow. I was like 8. And you shouldn't let an 8-year-old watch Creepshow. I'm sure if I watched it now, it'd probably be like, oh, that was really cheesy. But the thing in the crate, because they don't really show it to you, I think, into the end. I'm not even sure if they actually show it to you. It's one of those things where your mind kind of fills in what may or may not have happened.
Actually, you know, I was, they showed me Creepshow in middle school.
What kind of middle school did you go to?
Public.
and
Florida
it was,
public.
And it was a don't do drugs movie.
The Miskatonic Elementary School.
Creepshow is the one with the guy that tries to quit smoking.
That was a Cat's Eye.
Okay, that's the one they showed us.
Creepshow, it was the same similar format where it has like 4 or 5 stories. The first one has Ted Danson and a guy buries him up to his neck in the beach. Actually, that was the second story. The first one was about a old guy who has a birthday and dies or something. I can't remember. And then there's the thing in the crate, which I think may have been written by Stephen King. I don't know why I'm thinking that. The cockroaches. Oh, yeah. This guy is a super germaphobe.
Yeah.
And so he's in this sterile white room thing, and then these little cockroaches start peering everywhere, and he goes crazy and smashes some stuff. And then at the end, literally thousands of cockroaches.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Come up in and just devour him or something. And so at the time, yeah, that was that pretty much messed me up there. That was it.
I feel so mundane because I'm racking my memory for other things that really traumatized me as a child. And there aren't that many because I loved horror movies. I lived for the creature feature on Channel 30 every Saturday. But the few that I can think of were obvious ones like The Exorcist.
What about Phantasm?
Exorcist didn't scare me as much as fascinate me. But the other one that really stands out was the 70s remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Ooh, yeah.
That stuck with me because it spawned a recurring nightmare that my family were actually some sort of bizarre insect creatures.
They are.
That only looked even if they knew you were around. If you, yeah. The dream would be I would sneak up on them and be in the room next to them and peek in on them, and they wouldn't know I was there, and they would assume their normal forms. And I attribute that to seeing Invasion of Body Snatchers as an elementary school kid.
The dog with the human face. Whoa. Yep. That's messed up.
So, Ed, what was yours?
I said Phantasm.
Any?
Never seen that either.
Reason why? Or...
Oh, yeah, it was the little midgets. I'm scared of midgets to this day.
I think the politically correct term is little people.
That's because they're creepy.
Wasn't Phantasm the one that had the little pinball with the knife blade sticking out of
it?
I thought that was the dancing hippo.
I think that didn't come until, like, yeah, that was the first one. Yeah, that was in the first, started in the first one. Yep.
That's okay, Ron. I got what you're going at.
Yeah, I know.
Ron said it was a dancing Kempos that disturbed him.
With Mickey Mouse. Too much water, huh? Which knows it's going to be a Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah, the sooner.
That's terrifying.
Is it really?
Actually, the preview looked pretty good, I have to say.
And part of the preview from the sorcerer there was the apprentice and a room filling with water and broomsticks running around.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, other than that part.
Which is the classic Phantasm story.
Yes.
Not Fantasia.
Fantasia. Sorry.
Phantasm, completely different movie.
Yeah, that's the American Idol girl. That's completely different.
That's.
Oops.
Oh. Anyway. Well, this topic came to a screeching halt.
I got a nice segue, and one of the reasons why I brought up the whole horror movie thing to begin with was some of the early reviews for Wolfman are out.
I can't freaking wait.
I can't either. However, I was a little disappointed to see the reviews. Some of them are a bit tepid. I went to Rotten Tomatoes. It's only got a 50% so far. So I delved down a little bit deeper to read into why some of the people gave it a negative review. All of them uniformly say it's a gorgeous movie. It's very well shot. It's really nice. But it seemed to be a lot of them were suffering from unreasonable expectations of the movie. It's founded on a B-grade old horror flick. If they deviated from some of the formula behind that, I'd be really let down, because I remember watching the old black and white Wolfman, and I loved it. And
I still love it.
A modern rendition of that. But they were upset because the dialogue was a bit stilted and the plot was a bit clumsy. The story didn't advance much. And guess what, guys? You're not starting with prime wood. You're not going to make a Stradivarius out of this thing. It is what it is. And that's what made me think about the divergence in what exactly we consider a horror movie to be. Some were complaining that it dwelled too much on the gotcha moments. Well, at the time that this original story came out, that's really all there was. At least in that era, the Creature from the Black Lagoon type horror movies, or Them, things like that. If it does remain true to what the movie was originally and just puts a prettier veneer on it, I'll be more than happy. But I really think that some of the modern movie critics are just going to pan it because it doesn't meet their expectations of what a movie should be.
So they don't fight the sparkly vampires?
Yeah.
Well, who's the actor that plays the one
Del Toro?
Yeah, Benicio del Toro.
There's something about him. I just do not like him.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess I could see that.
I don't really get him. I dislike him. I just don't really get him. But this woman that I was having lunch with today, she said that he wasn't on her top five, but if there was a number six spot, he would make it in, which I don't get.
Make it in? Really?
Yeah.
Double entendre there.
Our jokes tonight are going to be, never mind.
Well, for everything that Del Toro kind of makes me not like the movie, Anthony Hopkins completely makes up for it.
I was about to ask, do we consider Anthony Hopkins a great actor or just a good actor?
Good actor.
Good.
I would say he's a very good actor.
Stumbled across some roles that really suit him well.
Yes, exactly. And I think that this role and
he has a good agent.
Hannibal Lecter... are just roles that he was almost made for.
I think without the Lecter thing, he would just be a good actor.
No, even with the Lecter thing, I think he just still falls squarely in the realm of good actor. I can't see Anthony Hopkins ever being in a comedy.
Yeah.
And to me, the very definition of a great actor is someone who can transcend their little niche.
Okay, well, then who would you consider a great actor?
Wait a minute, didn't you see Dracula?
Which one?
Intentionally bad, unintentionally bad?
I think
Bram Stoker's.
Unintentional.
Carrie, who would you consider a great actor then?
Bill Murray.
Interesting.
Bill Murray. Bill Murray was great in something like Caddyshack, and you compare that role or something else similar like Groundhog Day to what he was like in Lost in Translation.
I got to be honest. Of all the names I think that you could have pulled out of the air, Bill Murray was like not anywhere on my radar.
I like to epitomize the unique and unique geek.
I think that he is a talent. There's no doubt about that. But I don't know that I would consider him a great actor.
In the frame of reference of jumping outside of what people kind of pigeonholed him into, he was a wacky, zany, comedic actor. Being able to go out and convey such emotion in a movie like Lost in Translation, to me, that's the definition right there.
Yeah.
Robin Williams kind of did it, and he had a couple dramatic roles. I didn't see them, so I can't really definitively say yes or no. But it's something along that vein.
Right. Well, I mean, if you're going to go that route, and I mean, this goes back to an old theater saying, is that drama is easy, comedy is hard. Look at Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey.
I agree. Jim Carrey is a great actor.
And he has done a lot of amazing dramatic roles. I mean, I can never get the whole title out. Spotless Mind.
Eternal Sunshine. Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I thought that movie was so overrated.
No, that's a good movie.
I disagree. That was a phenomenal movie.
And especially if you look at Jim Carrey. I mean, just look at the performances, the two performances. Yes. I thought they were fantastic.
Truman Show.
The Truman Show was a good film too.
That's perhaps a better example. Now juxtapose that with someone like Sean Connery, who everyone considers to be a phenomenal actor, and in every role he's Sean Connery.
That's true.
Yeah, he's just a awesome guy. It's not that he's an awesome guy. Like I think Gary Oldman, not counting the Dracula movie, is an amazing actor because you don't realize it's Gary Oldman until like halfway through, or you may have seen the entire movie and go, I thought it was Gary Oldman? No way. And that he's able to actually go into different roles and you don't realize it's the same actor. That shows that versatility that he can do anything.
Yeah, and actually, Gary Oldman has done some comedy, hasn't he?
Fifth Element.
Fifth
Element kind of does count.
That's true.
I don't think his best performance. But...
It does count. Fifth Element is another one that may fall under the early category of a movie that was kind of a bad movie, but you still loved.
Yeah, I still didn't love it.
Oh, I love it.
I just don't get it.
What about
nobody
you,
cares, Ron?
What about you? What about you, Shag? What do you? Who do you consider a
Shag?
Shag, I mean, surf.
Big, yeah.
Surf.
Dick.
Sorry, I was looking up Gary Oldman.
In the same vein that if we're going to say that you've got to be able to pull off a dramatic role and some comedic roles, a name that comes to mind, and while I wouldn't necessarily say, hey, this guy is a great actor, he really can pull off a comedic role, a dramatic role, Woody Harrelson.
Again, not somebody that would be
exactly
on my radar.
But Natural Born Killers, Zombieland.
You know, you've got a point there. Zombieland.
Exactly. And what's the movie? He's actually, isn't he nominated for an Oscar this year?
Oh, I've heard for that.
The Messenger. Not somebody that I would necessarily on first blush say Woody Harrelson is a great actor. But I mean, if we're having to say you've got to be able to take a diverse type of role and turn it into your own. I would say Woody Harrelson, or possibly even Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. I would totally agree with.
In 1 year, for him to be able to go from Tony Stark Iron Man to Tropic Thunder is just a phenomenal acting job.
And then Sherlock Holmes and early days with things like Less Than Zero. And
a lot of people seem to forget
Charlie Chaplin.
Yes, he was fantastic in Chaplin.
Oh, what was that Hunter S. Thompson story that he starred in?
I thought that was Johnny Depp, and I thought that was that Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Fear and Loathing. Was that Johnny? I thought it was,
yeah, it was Johnny Depp.
It was Johnny Depp.
Okay. That shows you how well I pay attention.
You know, you guys are going to kill me, but I completely forgot that Gary Oldman was Sirius Black. I didn't even realize. In fact, I didn't even realize it was Gary Oldman, to be honest with you.
To play into Ron.
Seriously?
Ron, who would you consider a good actor?
Great actor. Great.
What's that?
You know who also is a great actor is Trisha Helfer. I just like to watch her. She should be in everything. And police. And
speaking of which, is anybody watching Caprica?
Yes.
I haven't seen the first bit of it.
What?
I
saw the first episode when it was on the DVD release thing.
I'm sorry.
And that was really good.
Surf said yes. That threw me for a loop.
Okay, yeah, good point. Yeah. What?
Yes.
She's
actually
not in it, but.
I am.
Are you being forced to watch it?
No. I was watching. I watched the first one, and
he doesn't know it's related to Battlestar Galactica.
Clearly, it's not.
Cylon show up. He's going to be very surprised.
They actually keep using the term Cylon. I'm surprised that Battlestar Galactica hasn't sued them over that yet. But
yeah, you think?
But actually, it's I think it's a little bit more entertaining story. It's not going in, at least not yet. It's not going in crazy directions like Battlestar started to.
It's actually when John said speaking of Trisha Helfer, I thought he was gonna bring up Human Target. She was on the pilot episode.
Well, is anybody watching Human Target? I know I am.
No.
And that had an awesome fight scene in it. The one on the train where you beating up that guy, that was an awesome fight scene.
There have been a lot of awesome fight scenes in that show so far. The way I described it before was, and I think I described it on the Unique Geek website actually. It's 24 without the angst.
And it's only one.
It's only one hour.
For those who don't know about Human Target, maybe a little background here. It actually is based on a DC comic, but it's more based on the name of a DC comic. Human Target was never part of the superhero universe. It was its own little thing. It just happened to be DC. In that series, actually, I've never actually read the comics, so I'm not really sure. But I think what happened in that series, and at least based off of the Rick Springfield series, the same name in the late 80s, he would actually put on masks and stuff and to look like other people. And yeah, that's how he would look like the target that was going to be killed. And that way he'd flush them out that way. I guess they found that a little too gimmicky. So, I mean, considering they've changed the premise so much, I don't know why they even paid for the naming or whatever. But anyway, in this series, it's Mark Vallée, who was in Fringe for a few episodes and marrying the lead actress from that in real life. He's in it, and he, if someone's got a lot of death threats, he'll kind of like shadow them and be like either an interpreter or an auditor or personal trainer or whatever. So he doesn't look like a bodyguard, and that's how he flushes the people out and beats the crap out of them. But he's a good guy that kills people who need killing. And that's one of the best parts of the show. They don't shy away from just killing people who need to be killed. It's also got G. McBride in it, who was from Pushing Daisies and a lot of other shows, as well as the guy who played Rorschach in Watchmen,
that movie,
and is going to be the new Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in
Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah, yeah.
Jackie Earl Haley. And, Mark Vallee, or however you pronounce it, he was actually in a show that I loved that was too short-lived, which is called Keen Eddie. He starred as this detective who wound up in London, and he was just really intuitive. He's really just, you know, he's a really good detective. But he was over on loan. I forget how he got over to how he wound up in London and working with the London police force. But it was a really, really good show that maybe you can check out on Netflix or whatnot. He's also on Boston Legal for 70 episodes. So
yeah, he's also a West Point graduate.
He was Carol Vesey. Well,
I didn't watch Boston Legal.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay. It had
no. It had William Shatner. I don't like him.
Well, he.
What has William Shatner ever done? Greatest actor to live. Greatest actor to live. He will tell you so.
He's beyond actor. He's a Renaissance man.
Let's see. What else do we got going on? What else is on TV that people are watching these days? I'm almost completely caught up with Heroes, and I'm sad to say that I am.
Is that still on?
It's still on. Actually, the season finale was this past week. I haven't watched it yet, but
I haven't watched it yet either. But yeah, I've seen just the other episodes. Yeah.
Breaks my heart because it had so much promise. Even when they tried to resuscitate it, I watched up until they introduced some of the Carney characters, and there was still the possibility that they could have made it a compelling show. But I just knew that they were just going to crap the bed.
Yeah, they did. What about Lost? Anybody caught up in Lost?
I got caught up. I haven't seen last night. I only saw the season premiere.
Well, last night.
La 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 la.
Saw your cries.
No. We cried the episode before too.
You know, I was talking to somebody about Lost the other day, and it came to me in an epiphany that Lost really is the cinematic equivalent of Calvin Ball. If anyone remembers Calvin and Hobbes,
I kind of get that. But explain
the fact that
the rules are made up as it goes along.
It was the complaint that originally it always seemed like they were just making it up as they went along. Well, I actually tried watching an episode, like I think the season opener, and it's still the same way.
You can't just watch an episode of Lost.
No, you can't. I actually got caught up over the Christmas holiday and started from the very beginning and all the way until the most recent season. And I have to say, it actually is a very fantastic show. But it's one of those shows that I guess that's the reason why I stopped watching it in the second season. And it is really tough to watch from episode to episode. But watching it all at once it's absolutely a fantastic show.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
That's why I can't
a DVD.
I can't fault it too much because the people that love it really love it. I couldn't get into it. It's kind of like NASCAR for me. The people that love it really love it, but to me, it just makes no sense.
I could have saved you some time. I could have saved you some time, Ed, and had you just skip season 3.
Why?
Because it wasn't worth your time.
Well, here's a kind of a spoiler for it. It's Lost is actually the prequel to Fantasy Island, and Richard is Mr. Rourke.
I kind of got a theory on where I think Lost is going. I don't know if anybody wants me to share it or no.
Well, as long as it's not based too much off of what happened last night.
No, nothing. Not anything that happened last night.
Go for it.
I think it might be kind of obvious from the beginning of this particular season in that I think the battle really comes down to two like fallen angels.
It's
a premise of Dogma is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird that the Jacob character, or the actor, is the same guy who's playing Lucifer in Supernatural.
Oh, is he?
Never seen this guy in anything before, and then last season, this guy pops up in two shows, and you makes you go, is this some kind of weird crossover? What?
I'm just saying that it's kind of, they're trying to get, the one guy is just trying to get back to, basically what I said was, it's the premise of Dogma. They're trying to get back into heaven. And the only way to do that is through, you know, bringing about the apocalypse or...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's my theory. Write me at john@theuniquegeek.com and tell me what you think. Tell me I'm an idiot.
Write
Ron at r... Never mind.
Speaking of television shows that are on, I'm addicted to Top Gear. And I've noticed at the bottom of the screen... that they advertise a lot of the other Brit sci-fi shows. Now, I've never, I appreciate Doctor Who, but I never really got into watching it. But some of the other shows that they, I know a couple people have seen an episode of Torchwood.
You don't have to appreciate either one of those.
And they've got another show on called Demons. I didn't know if anybody had ever seen any of that either.
Yeah.
No. I wanted to start watching or to see a few episodes of Demons, because there are good things about it. They have a show called Being Human.
Being Human's really good. Yeah, that was a fantastic show.
And it's only like 6 episodes, but you'd swear it was a full 22 episodes. They just have so much stuff. You know, like that would have been like 5 episodes in a American TV show.
Oh, I was going to say, because it just seems like it drags on forever and ever.
Well, you know, the
Torchwood
IT crowd thinks the
It's
a good
hard.
Show.
It has its ups and downs. Now, the third
series,
they call it, what was it, Children of Earth, was awesome.
Yes,
it was. They have it on Netflix instant watch thing. Yeah, it doesn't really matter that you don't really have to know too much about the characters or anything for that. You can pick up pretty quick the general idea of, okay, this one guy, he's Captain Jack, he's immortal, and okay, and that's all you need to know, really. And everything after that is really good television. It's not happy-go-lucky or anything, but definitely very good television.
It actually is a pretty intense miniseries. It's like probably the most intense miniseries I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, it was very good.
Really well written.
Anyone to see that, yeah.
It's kind of shocking that it was a Russell T. Davies story.
Yeah, I don't know, keep track enough about the writers and stuff, but yeah, for that. So, another series that we're watching on Netflix is a show called Legend of the Seeker. It's based on Terry Goodwin's books, The Sword of Truth series.
Really, you're watching that? I've seen it on like 100 times, and I just always like go, yeah.
It's actually not bad. It's Todd had read the books, and he didn't actually realize that it was based on that. I'd heard some stuff about it, and Charisma Carpenter talked about it when she was on at Dragon Con, and I was like, oh, okay, we'll watch this, and we're watching for a little while, and Todd's like, man, this seems really familiar. It seems like, wait, and then after a while, he realized,
wait
a minute, this is the series of books. It's kind of it's a fantasy type of thing. The first episode is a whole lot like Star Wars. There's the hidden kid that is the prophesied, destined to be the release the land from the evil king. This guy comes and teaches him magic, and he's got a special sword and stuff. But it's actually it's an enjoyable show. There's some definitely new concepts that I haven't ever seen done before. With some of the character types of some of the supernatural characters, how they utilize them, it's a pretty much a family friendly kind of a show for the most part. So if it's something that you want to watch with kids, you could actually maybe not like 5 year olds or anything, but kids that are 10 or 11, you could watch that without it being too offensive or anything. Usually when they stab people, there's no blood on their swords. Kind of a thing.
Is it better than Wizards of Waverly Place, which my daughter is into now?
I haven't seen that.
That was a test.
I don't know. They did have Charisma Carpenter kissing a chick on the episode, the season 2 episode 1, which,
oh yeah, that's very.
So that might not be for very.
Mark that. Make sure.
But it was awesome to watch. Let me tell you. There is these characters called the Mord Sith, and they're all really hot chicks who wear tight red leather and these long ponytails, and they're immune to magic, basically. And they have these pain sticks that they torture people with.
Awesome.
Okay, that part might not be too friendly, but it's awesome.
Yep, sounds good for 10-year-old boys.
Anybody else watching anything that they want to pimp? Besides the obvious, like Fringe and things like that.
If not, we got some new direction here. Apparently, they've started shooting the Thor movie in New Mexico. And word is out about the upcoming Captain America series, or not series, television, or
movie. Yeah.
In that it's apparently going to be more like the Ultimates Captain America. It's going to be focused more on World War II. I think we might have discussed that before, but I'm still really excited about it.
Yeah, they haven't cast it yet, but it sounds like that there some of the people who were thought to maybe be contenders aren't anymore. Mm-hmm. So
now, one thing I'm having a hard time visualizing is how they're going to use Natalie Portman as the love interest in Thor, because the leading actor opposing her is like 6'5" and she's 4 feet tall.
Being the nurse character too just concerns me as to. I thought that most of it was supposed to take place in, I was hoping initially that was going to be Asgardia, okay, but yeah, I guess more of it's going to be where he is banished onto Earth.
Yeah, apparently so.
Yeah, I think I would like to have the kind of like what they're doing with Captain America, where they bookend it with modern day, but then all the middle is a period kind of a piece to it. I think that they could have done some interesting things with that and then spun it, but I guess they want to, basically just kind of set it up, I guess, for the Avengers movie. So.
Hey, is Ultimates Captain America any good?
From what little I've read, yeah, it was pretty good. I really appreciated how they made the character a little bit more, I guess, believable.
You haven't read Ultimates?
But isn't there an Ultimates Captain America?
Oh no, no. There was like a miniseries of like 4 issues where he did some stuff with the Falcon. But no, there's no actual Captain America.
Okay, yeah, I've read the Ultimates.
Yeah, I've got the Ultimates Galactus where he's in it, and some Ultimates Avengers where he's in. Yeah. And you figure that the character spawned in World War II. It's a war. The guy's going to carry a gun. He's going to have no compunctions about killing people. Yeah. Where you compare that to the Captain America that most people remember before they killed him off and then brought him back. Yeah, he was kind of like a squeaky clean Batman. Well, we can't kill the bad guys.
I can tell you, if he can find it, and I've been looking for it myself, as a Captain America series that came out, I think in the late 90s, called The Adventures of Captain America, Sentinel of Liberty. Did you ever read that, Ron?
It sounds kind of familiar, but I'm not really...
Fantastic series. It was like a 4-issue series that basically focused around the World War II.
Oh, okay. Another little tidbit about the upcoming movie, and I appreciate this a lot too, how they explain his uniform. Apparently they were saying that they were going to make him perform in USO things, so on and so forth. He didn't appreciate the brightly colored outfit until he went into combat and discovered that by having this presence of the uniform, he could command more attention from the enemies and more respect from his coworkers. So they try to transition from the flashy outfit into the armored Captain America uniform that they have in the Ultimates Cap, the painted chainmail with the reinforcement on his abs, things like that.
Going back a little bit to shows, how does everyone think that Chuck is doing this season? Anybody watching?
It's different.
Only seen haven't the seen the first episode. I haven't
we've
seen a single like, one.
You've never like seen
six
one?
Episodes backed up.
You haven't seen any?
None.
Really?
You?
Not a bit. I haven't seen it.
One. Huh. All right. Then I'll move on.
Oh, there is some going on the superhero movie news. Spider-Man is going to be not necessarily rebooted, but is starting over. Did we talk about this last time? I don't know if that news came out last time.
No, I don't know if it did or not.
Yeah, so
the last time
like
we talked about the best things of 2009.
Yeah,
so no.
It
and then before
like
that, we talked about what was going on
Sam
in August.
Raimi didn't like the way Sony was trying to push things, and so he said, "Okay, I'm done." And so when that happened, Sony said, "Oh, okay, well, we're gonna have the characters start back in high school." I don't think they don't need to do an actual origin story again. They're just going to go, okay, we'll just do stories from back when he's high school, which means they're getting rid of the Elijah, not Elijah Wood, that's Frodo. The
Tobey
other
Maguire.
Guy. Yeah, Tobey Maguire and Kristen Dunst, which is fine by me. So they're looking down for a new placement.
Yeah, and the way I've heard it explained is as long as they continue to be in process of making a Spider-Man movie, Sony gets to keep the rights. As soon as they stop being in process of making a movie for a period of time, the rights revert back to Marvel for them to do with whatever they want.
Yes, yeah, Marvel had a really weird licensing thing where, yeah, that was the how they did things. So that was why the Fantastic Four movie from the 80s, the Roger Corman one, came out. And there was some other movie that is now they're going to push out the studio's going to do it specifically for that reason, but I can't remember actually what it was, but it was one they hadn't made yet. Well, I mean, you know, hadn't been in a series yet.
Well, I mean,
it's blanking on me.
I mean, the same thing is with Superman and whatnot. It's just they got to keep making him in order to keep. Actually, I don't think that's the same with Superman. Excuse me.
Well, no, because that's Warner Brothers.
It is Warner Brothers. You're right. Yeah. What was the other one I was thinking? Oh, Wolverine. That's what I was thinking. The X-Men and Wolverine.
Yeah, that's with Fox. Yeah,
those get to stay with Fox as long as they continually.
Daredevil, I think, is the one that they're. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're going to redo Daredevil.
And there's still a rumor that they're planning on doing an Ant-Man movie.
Well, yeah, which I think by Disney and... now it is Disney, so... With Edgar Wright.
Yes. Doing it. Yes.
And Simon Pegg also, I think.
I don't know if Simon Pegg was still rumored with it or not, but the report I read today was that it was definitely... Actually, it was Stan Lee meeting with the director from Shaun of the Dead. So I would wholeheartedly welcome it. It'd be nice to see a comedic superhero flick, or at least a decent done one. I have high hopes that the movies that Marvel will sponsor will continue to be a better quality than what some of the other big studios put out by obtaining characters. Yeah. Although I still have hopes for Kick-Ass.
Yeah. I'm looking for. I just finished the final. I guess there's 8 issues in the series, and just finished the 8th one, and it finally came out. And enjoyed it, and so I can see where that could be a.
When does Kick-Ass come out story. Officially?
It's coming out pretty soon.
I guess I could Google that, couldn't I?
What is this Google you speak of?
Anyway, well, you know what, guys? I actually think it might be time for us to wrap this little chat up.
But we were just kidding.
One last thing.
For no, those of you that
don't read the listserv. The official trailer for The Last Airbender, the real Avatar, just came out. Looks really, really promising. I have very high hopes for this.
It is the real Avatar, right?
It's the real Avatar.
It looks interesting. I'll give you that.
Kick-Ass is April 16th.
April 16th. That's not too far away.
Yeah, we should maybe have a show where we talk about the movies that are coming up soon.
We maybe should. Yes. You know what I want to do? I actually want to do a Origins story.
What?
An Origins podcast where we go around and actually figure out where we all got to know each other and how we got into being geeks. But anyway, that's a story for another time.
These are teasers for... future episodes.
For future episodes that will never get recorded.
And then we'll all talk about how we're going to die.
Well, if comics have taught us anything, dying is only just a matter of time.
Temporary.
I mean, I've already got Todd's planned out for him. So
I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that.
Yeah, I tell him pretty regularly.
Yeah. And Christopher Nolan is supposed to guide the new Superman. Anyway.
Which is a producer, so
whatever. Anyway, with that, Ed, anything you want to pimp?
What do I want to pimp?
Where can people find you on Twitter?
Twitter, Edward Crosby.
Edward Crosby. Okay. What about your side business?
Oh yeah, ectech.info.
How about you, Carrie?
If you're in Jacksonville and you need fine cardiology work, you come see me at my hospital. I won't say for fear of reprimand from work. Other than that, no, that's...
If you're having heart problems, good luck.
Sucks. Sucks to be you. Don't be in Jacksonville. Don't waste your time looking for me. Find someplace.
They'll find you.
Ron.
If anyone knows of any attorneys who want to have be a contracts analyst or a compliance person in Orlando, Siemens is hiring, and I can do an employee referral and get a bonus for that. So
can they reach you?
By the time this podcast comes out, the position will already be filled.
Yeah, possibly.
They used to do that in healthcare back when we were actually hiring.
They can reach you through Twitter, or how would they reach you?
I don't know. Go on the listserv.
You know, yeah, go on the listserv. Just email the geeks at theuniquegeek.com, and we'll all get your resume.
It'll work out. It's all good. Engineers are also good. So yeah, legal or engineers.
People that direct trains. Is that what you're talking about?
Sure. Yeah. They even give you the little black and white striped hat.
Serv. Do you know what a computer is?
I've seen that before.
Where can people find you?
Either Facebook. Right. Facebook, Unique Geek, or Need Coffee.
You can follow me at on Twitter at John Boutelle, JonBoutelle, ELLE. So that's what I should have said. Or, you know, be able to the Unique Geek, find me on listserv. Where else?
If you need me, occasionally you can just use John's Twitter and he'll contact me.
Yeah.
And if you need Shag's mom, all you have to do
is arrange it through Shag. Oddly enough. Until next time, folks, peace. This is where you guys say goodnight.
Oh, okay. Good night.
Or goodbye.
Goodbye.
Anybody else? No, everyone else has already left the building. What's going on?
No.
Ron did a fine job.